Rabbi Shus, Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Cohen. It's a great privilege to be here. You know, I see familiar faces, and I see unfamiliar faces. But the one thing I see, chashuva faces. And the Harborside Kollel is a phenomenal thing. It's a phenomenal thing for Klal Yisrael, and it's beautiful that you come and you spend time here at night. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, Hashem should be mechazik you mechayil olchoyil, and this is the greatest place to be. The Chizuk HaTorah should elevate us all higher and higher. We're coming now to the Yom Kippur. Let me start with a mashal. There was a bird that was flying cross country from New York to Florida, and the bird got tired, wanted to take a rest, and there was a construction site down far below. The bird saw a big beam of wood, and the bird saw that would be a perfect place to rest. So it flew down to it was beautiful, and it was resting on the beam of wood. The only problem was that the bird did not notice that there was tar on the beam, and by the time it tried to lift off, it could not, because the tar was gumming up the wings of the bird. The bird could not open up its wings to fly. It was terribly distressed, and it was chirping and chirping like mad. And a big construction fellow walks over with a huge hand, and he picks up the bird. The bird thought it was finished. But with surprising gentleness, the construction worker takes the bird into a shed. And there in the shed, there was a large container of solvent. And this solvent takes off tar. He takes a stiff bristled brush, and he dips it in the solvent and starts scraping the wings of the bird. The bird thought, this person is torturing me. I'll never get out of here. But it was scraping, and slowly, slowly, the tar began to be peeled off the wings of the bird until finally it was free. And the bird came, and the person put it on the windowsill, and he opened up the window, and the bird saw free space and flew out, climbing higher and higher and higher into the sky. It was the happiest day of the bird's life. This is a mashal. What it represents is the tshuva process. We also are meant to fly. HaKadosh Baruch gave us the tools to fly. However, we live life. Life is life. HaKadosh Baruch gives us nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch gives us temptations. We're only human beings. That's why there's a Yom Kippur every year. We're only human beings. And we get gummed up. And our upward progress, our flying, where we're meant to fly every year. We're meant to fly higher and higher than we were the past year. But we get stuck. We get stuck. And the tshuva process is a beautiful process. The tshuva process is a wondrous process, by which the Ribbono Shel Olam helps, and it culminates in Yom Kippur, a day in which we dedicate ourselves to the process of tshuva, of cleansing. It's not comfortable, Yom Kippur, on the one hand, physically speaking, but it's exhilarating on the other hand. It's ennobling. It makes us feel like royalty, Yom Kippur. By the end of Yom Kippur, we're spent. By the end of Yom Kippur, we're exhausted. But we're clean. We're sparkling clean. That's what Yom Kippur does for us. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal day, Yom Kippur. One of the happiest days of the year. So this is what we have to address, Rabbosai. What we have to address is the specialness. In order to do tshuva properly, Rabbosai, we have to understand our godless. We have to understand what we are, each one of us, what we are. It's extremely important. I would like to quote for you a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says a very interesting thing. Kol echad ve'echad chayev lomar. Every single person in the world is obligated to say bishvili nivra ha'olam, that the world was created for me. Now, how does that sound, Rabbosai? Does that sound arrogant? The person walks around, say, I want you to know. You know, the world was created for me. So I would say, well, you know, get off your pedestal, mister. But that's true. And I'm supposed to say it, and you're supposed to say it, and everybody's supposed to say the same thing. That the world was created for me. Why? The world was created for me. How do I know that? Because Adam HaRishon was the first person to ever to inhabit the world, and the whole world was only created for him. All of the other species of animals in the world were created as entire species. There were the fish, not one fish, and all the fish came from one fish. Not one bird, not one cow, not one squirrel. It was species of squirrels and dogs and cats and fish and birds. There's only one existing being in the world, only one. Adam. Why? Because Hashem wanted everybody to see if the whole world was for him, then the whole world is for me too. I'm like a microcosm. I'm like a miniature Adam. I'm me also. On both sides, the Gemara is saying this. This is not exaggeration. It's true. And there's something very wrong if a person doesn't feel this way. Chayiv, the Gemara says, Chayiv, a person is obligated to feel this way. If you don't feel this way, you got to get back on track. You have to work it on working it in yourself until you understand. Until we all understand the world, mamish, is created for me. If I'd be the only one here, Rabosai, this is not exaggeration. If I would be the only one in the world, it's Kedai from Pluto all the way down to here and way, way beyond. All of the hundreds of billions of galaxies with hundreds of billions of stars, it's all for me. And that's why Hashem made Adam one. Now, why is this necessary? Because the Gemara says not that it's a nice thing to feel this way, but it's a chayiv, it's a chiyuv to feel this way. We're obligated to feel this way. Why? So let me ask you a question. Let's say you have two people. One is a prince, and one is a peasant, the prince and the peasant. And they both get involved in something wrong. They did something wrong. It was a taiva. The prince let himself be encouraged by the peasant, and really wasn't so nice what they did. And now they were caught, and it's a busha gadola. It's a terrible embarrassment, and they have to go down to the court. And everybody's saying, "Woo! The prince is here. The prince is here." And he walks in, his mom, she's blushing, the prince is blushing. He's so embarrassed, he's there, and they're taking snapshots and do fingerprints on the prince. Aye. So then, when it comes time to do tshuva on this, the judge is looking at the peasant, the judge is looking at the prince. The judge says to the peasant, "Sir," he said, "you ever going to do this again?" So the peasant said, "Oh, Your Honor, I'll never do it again. I hope. Never do it again. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm going to really try not to do it again." That's the peasant. He says to the prince, "Prince, are you going to ever do this again?" And the prince is saying, "Chas v'shalom." If he was Jewish, he would say, "Chas v'shalom." He said, "I never, never, never I would do it. Never. Your Honor, I feel so embarrassed with myself." Why? What's the difference between the prince and the peasant? What's the difference? Because the prince is a prince. The prince knows who he is. It's what a busha, what an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to my father. It's an embarrassment to the realm. It's an embarrassment to myself. I let myself be pushed into this. Never, never will I let myself be just, ooh. That's the difference. You see, Rabosai, the difference. That's what Rashi says over here. I'm an olam, anika olam mole. I'm like a whole world. The whole world was created for me. Lo atrid es atzmi min olam ba'avera achas. I'm not going to let myself be pushed out of the world for this one avera. I never do that. I wouldn't do that because I'm so great. This is very, very important to know, Rabbosai, how great we are. Every single one of us, how great we are. Intrinsically how great we are. And the first step in knowing how great we are is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make the whole world for us. And that's something that we must feel. There's something else also I want to quote to you. A Rabbeinu Yonah. In Sefer Shari Avoda. The Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, HaPesach HaRishon, the first first entrance to get into Avodas Hashem, the very, very basic level. Now listen to what he says. It's really going to corroborate what we just said. He said, the first Pesachu, Sheyeda ho'isho oved erech atzmo. The person who comes to do Avodas Hashem, he's got to know erech atzmo. What does erech atzmo mean? His value. You got to know your value. When you respect who you are, so that it's, you expect more of yourself. That's the first step in Avodas Hashem. You're erech atzmo. And then he says something else. He says, v'yasir, v'yakir, my loso. He has to recognize his greatness, u'mailas avosov, and the greatness of his lineage, of the greatness of his heritage. Who do we come from? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are angel. We are an angelic people. We come from the avos. Our avos were the only ones. The only ones in the world are avos. We are from their blood. We have it in our genes, Jewish genes. There's nothing like a Yehudi in the whole world. There's nobody who's a nobleman. There's nobody who's great as a Yehudi, as a Jewish person. That's me. I'm a Jewish person. I'm a direct lineage. And we say this every morning. We say this every morning in the davening. What do we say? Anachnu chayovim lahodos. He said, "Well, anachnu amcha b'nei brisecha, b'nei Avraham." We are the children. Every day we say this. Anachnu b'nei Avraham, ohavcha, who loved you. Shenishbata lo bahar amir. You swore to him. You, the Ribono Shel Olam, the Creator of the universe, swore to my great great grandfather, Avraham Avinu. You swore to him that there will always be a Jewish people. There will always be a Jewish people. You will never die. That's a promise of the Ribono Shel Olam to Avraham Avinu. We're here, and we're from him. And then it goes on. Avraham Avinu is there. Yitzchak Yechido. Yitzchak is only one. Shenechad Agavi Mizbeach, who went to be slaughtered as a carbon. Yitzchak said to his father, "Dad, Abba, tie me up." Why did Abraham have tie up Yitzchak? Whose suggestion was it to tie up Yitzchak? Whose suggestion was it? Did Abraham say, "My son, I want to tie you up, put your hands behind your back"? Is that what happened? Is that what happened? Yitzchak said, "Please, please tie me up. Please tie my hands over here, my feet over here," said Yitzchak. Why? Why did Yitzchak? Yitzchak's not running anywhere. Yitzchak, he doesn't have to be tied not to run anywhere. He's not going anywhere. So why did he say that right here to tie him up? Why? Because he said, "Because I'm afraid I'm going to see the knife at my throat. I'm going to see the knife at my throat, and I'm going to get scared, and I'm going to flinch. Maybe I might flinch, and it might cut me prematurely." And render me a not a fit carbon. You wouldn't be able to slaughter me after that. You hear that? You might not be able to slaughter me. So please tie me up so tightly that when I see the knife, I won't be able to move. And then you'll be able to shecht me. That's it. That had Yitzchak Avinu. If Yitzchak Avinu was giving himself over, mamish, every bit of himself, giving off the album to be able to be a carbon to Nima, to the Ribono Shel Olam. Zera Yitzchak, that's us. We have that. How many people run the Ribono Shel Olam went to their deaths? How many people went to their deaths? Singing Ani Mamin, singing it, and it just in the last 100 years. Singing. It's a privilege to die for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What other nation is there like this? And that's us. That's us. We're that nation. We're so unbelievably special, we are. And Yaakov Avinu. And we're the children of Yaakov Avinu, we say every morning. Every morning we go through this again. We're the children of Avraham. We're the children of Yisrael. We're the children of Yaakov that Hashem loved so much. Called Yisrael, Yaakov and Yisrael, he called him Yeshurun, he gave him extra special names, the Bechir of the Avos, Yaakov Avinu, and then we're their children. This is us, this is who we are. a Jewish person is flying in this world. Especially today, you see the difference. It's spinning farther and farther and farther apart with a Ben Yisrael and the rest of the world. Have we let ourselves do in a favor? Do I stoop to do in a favor? Do I stoop to bring sacrilege to Hashem's name? Chas v'shalom, that people would look at a Jew. I know a person who was in a car, a friend of mine. He was in a car, and his friend was driving recklessly. And my friend said to the driver, who's a friend of his, could you please slow down? Don't weave in out of traffic. He said, no, that's okay, we have to get going. We have to, you know, we're in a hurry. So you know what my friend did? He's in the passenger seat, you know what he did? He took off his yarmulke. I don't want anybody to look and see a Jew in that car. I'm looking outside the window here, and the guy's looking at me with a yarmulke on my head. No, can't do that. I'm going to take off the yarmulke. I don't want to bring a chil Hashem to the room. People should see a Jew doing that there. And not acting nice. So you do. So I mean, we're extra nice on the road, let people in the kavod, you know, of the drivers, you know, just to bring credit to the name of Yehudi in this world, especially with Nazar. So the first thing about both sides in doing tshuva is to understand, Rabbeinu Yonah says, the first Pesach is to know who we are, to expect more of ourselves. Like that prince in the story with the prince and the peasant. The peasant says, I'll try. I wanted to get the prince, would never do it again, because the prince realizes that he's a prince. So therefore, the whole world was made for me. The world was made for me, and I'm a child of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. All of these are very, very special things to remember. And these can help us to do tshuva. I want to give some examples. There's a certain other car. I ask
the following.
That Yemei HaDin, we're so close to Hashem, we all have a koach that we have to exercise. What do I mean? The koach of tefillah is so strong, especially now. On Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the second luchos. He came down on Yom Kippur, this 40-day period of time. Between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Yom Kippur is especially, Hashem is especially close to us. So close to us. The pasuk says, Dirshu Hashem v'himotzo, seek Hashem and is to be found. When is he is to be found? I say, especially now, Hashem is very close. Yom Kippur is going to come, and we're going to be standing, and we're going to be davening to Hashem on the day of Yom Kippur. Our koach of tefillah is so important in this time. It's so tremendous. We may underestimate it, and that's what I ask of all of us, to exercise our achrayas, to dive into Hashem as hard as we can. That we say, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ota, Avinu Malkeinu, Shlachu Fu Shemeinu Lachota, Avinu Malkeinu, Kara Roa Gezar Dineinu, Hofer Atzas Oiveinu, Yelas of Oiveinu, there's lots of Soneinu, we are in a very precarious time, and we say, Avinu Malkeinu, not to rush through it, but to say it clearly, and when we do tshuva, to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, Chotasi, Ovisi, Hoshati, to think about what we did, and to take it seriously, and to try as hard as we can. We're so special, and this is such a special time of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we do this seriously, there's no telling what kind of year we can have from this. In any case, in any time during the year, our tefillahs are so powerful. Especially during the Yemei Ratzon, like we're armed. Like the Moabites. The Moabites, when they saw the Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Balak, the Moabites saw Balak, Melech Moab. He saw the Bnei Yisrael coming, they defeated Sihon. You know who Sihon was? Sihon and Og, you know who they were? They had no parallel. You don't know who they were. They were giants, and they were such superpowers. You can't defeat them. And Balak took a look, and then Klal Yisrael is running over them. Who are these people? So Balak wanted to find out, how do you fight these people? So who did he consult? He consulted the Midianites. Why the Midianites? Because Moshe Rabbeinu lived for a while in Midian.
Yisro was a priest of Midian. So then Balak can consult the Midian. How do you fight these people? You know, sometimes when you're fighting a war, you know, you get a file on the general, on the opposing general, you can see how do you get to him. So he asked the Midian, how do you fight this person? Gunning said to the Moabites, he said to Balak, "Ein kocho el b'fiv." His koach is in his mouth. You're not gonna do it. You're not gonna do it with swords. You're not gonna do it with arrows. It's only because the koach of this person is in his mouth, and therefore you have to have somebody to fight him who can curse. Well, who also has the koach is in his mouth. That koach will neutralize that koach. That's what they said. So he understood. The Midianites understood. Ein kocho el b'fiv. It's in our mouths. We're going to stand there and say, no way! If Klal Yisrael would utilize properly that power that we have, and all year we have the power of the Koach Bifi, especially now, when you make Rachamim and Rabbatzim, it's like our weaponry has been upgraded to atomic weaponry. Like they don't stand a chance against us. And you have to go and utilize it seriously. Seriously, put it in. I think this is our weaponry against those wicked Mishraim, who kill our people, who enslave our people, who kidnap our people, and this is our weaponry. And all of the anti-Semites in the world, and all of those who pretend to be very nice and very diplomatic, and we're really, there's so many Israel at the core. The way that we deal with them is with the Koach Bifi, especially to think clearly what it could do, a well-placed tefillah.
Can I quote for you? I want to quote for you something from the Medrash. There's a Medrash, even though it's about Purim, it's not about Yom Kippur, but it has to do with the Koach HaTefillah of Esther Hamalka. So therefore, I think it's very helpful. When we say Avinu Malkeinu, Ein lanu melech ela ota. We say those words, so it's to think and to internalize, I have nothing, Hashem, but you, and you're the only one that's going to do it for me. To think and sincerely about my home and my family and my work and my health and everything is all in your hands, Hashem Yisbarach, it's all in your hands. The more and more we integrate that, internalize that. So let's take an example from Esther. So when Esther called the three-day fast of the Jewish people, she called the fast, and Mordechai went to spread the word. They're going to have a fast. Now Esther, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bo'esahi ho'esa Esther nifchedes miyon. At that time, Esther was very frightened. Mipnei haro, asher tzomcha b'Yisrael. That was a very, very, very precarious time, probably the most precarious time in Jewish history, because all of the Jewish people were living in those 127 provinces. All the Jews. Not all the Jews were living in Europe in World War II. They didn't have us, the Germans. They didn't have all the Jewish people, but in the time of Haman, they did. Haman did have us. Haman had everybody. He had everybody. Haman. It was an extremely precarious time for us. And then if Nicheves Meod, Esther was frightened. Vatispal El Tatomer. And Esther davened to Hashem. And she said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Hashem Moshalto Mimei Kedem, you have ruled from days of old. Ubaros Eso Olam Azor No Amosecho. Please help your maidservant. I'm an orphan girl. I don't have a father. I don't have a mother. Please help me. Now listen carefully. Now the father of orphans. Stand by the right hand of this orphan. That I trust in your chesed. And make me an object of rachamim and compassion in front of this man, Achashverosh. You catch those words. She said, Asher bechastecha botcha. This girl, referring to herself, I'm trusting in your chesed, Hashem. I'm trusting in your chesed. Meaning to say, Avinu Malkeinu, ein lanu melech elo oto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got nobody but you. I'm only trusting in you. That's it. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my only hope. Okay, that's what she said. That's what she davened. Now, after three days, Esther went into see Achashverosh. Now, if you look at the Megillah, everything looks beautiful. It looks like no problem. Esther came in, and Achashverosh handed her the scepter, and it's all beautiful. It's a lovely story. But that's not what happened. And the Megillah is very, very brief. There's a lot behind that. Achashverosh was furious when she came in. He was furious. She was finished. She was history, Esther. When she came in, and he raised his eyes and looked at her, his eyes were fiery coals. Achashverosh. What's she doing? She's coming, a slap in the face. She comes without an appointment. She comes to see the king without an appointment. Woo! And Esther looked at her. Ooh. She knew it. That was it. End of story. And she kind of fainted on one of the maidservants that was escorting her. But this Vahel Neot, she was so frightened, Esther, and her spirit was weakened, and she put her head on the Nara, on the girl that was to the right. Vayar Elokeinu, and Hashem saw. Vayachmol al amo, and Hashem had mercy on his people. Vayifen litzar hayisoma asher bot chabo, and he turned to the tsar of this orphan who trusted in him. Vayiten lo chen lifnei amelech, and all of a sudden Hashem came into the king's mind, and all of a sudden, Esther, he turned 180 degrees. And he had stars in his eyes. Oh, Esther, what are you so scared about? No, that this law is not for you. This is everybody else. It's just like that. Because Hashem came into his mind and turned the whole thing around. And then that we read in the Megillah, everything proceeded from there. So what happened? It is happened because of Esther's tefillah. She said, Asher botcha, because the Torah says Hashem listened to her prayer, that she had both bitochen in Hashem. Remember that key phrase? When Esther said, I'm relying on you, Ein lanu melech ela'ota, we only have you, she said those words. And when Hashem responded, he responded to Esther, who only had trust in him. See, that was how critical that was. And then Hashem saved the nation. Rabosai, the whole nation was saved because of Esther's tefillah and how she worded it and put her trust in only in Hashem. We're talking about magnificent events. These magnificent events are because of tefillah. There's a story I heard in the Shemit Adam Gadol that Rommel was maybe the best general that Germany had. And he was stopped. He was stopped in his advance to Eretz Yisrael. He was stopped. The British stopped him at El Alamein. And it was a huge, surprising victory. The British won. And Adam Gadol said that the reason why is because they were davening like crazy. I read an account of it, that when the Germans were coming to Eretz Yisrael, the British and the French, they already shredded all the documents. They were getting out of town because they knew the Germans were coming. That was it. That they were going to wipe. They were going to come into Eretz Yisrael. They were going to wipe out the country. They knew that. They were leaving town very quickly. The British and the French, and the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael was shrying about. They were shrying and screaming that the tefillahs in the yeshiva were so powerful, and that's what stopped the Germans. That's what stopped them. He said, Rav said that in Europe they didn't know enough. They didn't know early enough. He found out only later what was going on in Europe. But in Eretz Yisrael, they knew it. They knew. They knew everything in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, they saw what was coming. And then they had the opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they daven so, so hard. And that changed the face of everything. another example of the koach of tefillah is to be found in Parshas Chukas. Wait a minute. Can I skip it? I want to go to something else. I have a rhyme from Parshas Chukas too. But I want to bring something from Rav Silas Yesharim. This is a knockout. This is a knockout. Are you ready? I guess you're ready. Everybody's sitting here. Nobody objected, so here we go. Okay, here, listen to this. It says in Mesillas Yesharim, in Chelke Athasivs, it says like this, that a person should daven, they should daven, that for the covet of Yushalayim, be Yisparlel Tomid, he quotes Chazal, Yisparlel Tomid al Gulos and Shal Yisrael, a person should daven for the Geula, for the redemption of Israel, and the return of the covet of Shemayim to its previous state. That's what I should do. That's very nice. Go home tonight. And we all do it. We say it down. Ribono Shel Olam, take it to him. Ribono Shel Olam, please bring the Geula. And we're going to say that on Yom Kippur. We're going to say it. We're going to ask Hashem for the Geula. We're going to daven a lot. We're going to daven a lot. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu be made manifest in the world. We're davening for that. So now, just to alert ourselves as to the koach of that tefillah, of what we're about to say, listen to this. He says, Mesillas Yesharim quotes Chazal, that a person should daven for the Geula. Geulas and Shel Yisrael. The Geula, this is in the 1700s. He's saying that a person should daven for the Geula. Now, im to'im yom ha'radam, if a person will say, who am I? Who am I? I should daven for the Geula. I should daven for the Geula. Hamitnei tefilasi yuchnesu l'angolius, because of my tefillah, the Geulas is going to be ended, and the Yeshua is going to come because of my tefillah. Who are you kidding? In other words, I see a lot of art scrolls sitting around back there. I think they got tefillin in the back. So I could go up to the back and go to the show. No, you don't have. I'm just saying, Lamosh, I could go to the back. I could take out the tefillin. I could sit here in this beautiful basement. I could say, Ribono Shel Olam, please bring the Geula. And I'm expecting that Hashem's going to listen to it. Is that true? Or that's just a nice thing to say.
Happen.
Huh?
Could happen.
You should feel it. You should feel that Hashem is listening to me. What do you say? I ain't doubting. You've been doubting. What do you want, my dear? This is true. I will rush along. Could you please bring the door? Okay. So Hashem says, Gedalia wants the door.
Ishmael Nibrael?
What?
Bishvili.
Yes! That's exactly what he says. How do you know that? Because he says, the answer, how is this possible? Because of me, Hashem's going to bring the Geula? Lefi, he says, yes, I'll bring you a raya. Lefi, that's what we spoke about before. Therefore, he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin, therefore everybody should say, the world was created for me. That's what he says. So that all of a sudden, I'm not just a simple old Gali. I am a person that the entire creation is worth it for me. The emotion would make the whole creation for me. So now, since I know that that's true, since I know my value in the eyes of Hashem, I know my value. So then I can say it without embarrassment and with real sincerity. I mean, put ourselves into the Baruch Shalom and not the Baruch Shalom is suffering so much. Well, the hostages are still there, and they go into a bus, and they shoot up, they kill people, innocent people on a bus, and all of the things that they're doing to us, and the rest of the world is laughing at us, and we're the villains of the world, and we're the genocidal maniacs of the world. Sheker the heaven. The whole thing is a sheker. The whole thing is lies, lies, lies. And the world is sucking it all in. Into the atzmusa, into the depths of their bones, they're bringing in all these lies. And everybody believes it. Not everybody, but stops our friends. So therefore, we Baruch Shalom, Baruch Shalom, on Yom Kippur. Baruch Shalom. Tein pachtecho, Hashem, Elokeinu, al kol ma'asecho.
But then that would be frightened to death of you. Reveal your magnificence. Reveal your awesomeness in the world. So we say this, I am able to say it without busha and without feeling funny, because Hashem created the world for me. But once you know that, it just changes our whole understanding of tefillah, changes the whole thing. It's a direct communication to the master of the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we're saying. What's going to come up this year? Who knows what's going to be this year? This year is, you can't see to the end of the year. I don't know. But it would mean that Yom Kippur is a Zman. Dear Shiva Hashem, he wants all Sikh Hashem is to be found. Klal Yisrael need every single one of us. And we don't know the ends, we don't know. We're very close to the Gula. The Chaim Kanievsky's, that's how it's said, the Mashiach's on the block. So anyway, you never know who's going to push it over. Maybe somebody sitting in this room. It could be somebody sitting in this room. Our tears on the Kippur, are said with feeling, with sincerity, with Benish. It could push us over. So therefore, we are cruel. I would say, get sleep. Don't stay up late, not going to do or not, get sleep. Get sleep because we need to be strong. We're going to be fasting like on that day, every week, but at least get enough sleep to try to prepare ourselves. We have to be as strong as we can, because this is our effort. This is the battleground. The battleground is our tefillah. The battle of Yom Kippur, our tefillah. It's our tefillah, our tshuva. That's the battleground. So we have to work very hard. Work at making ourselves. We take that gook, that tar, which is gumming up our feathers. To take it off of ourselves through the cleansing process of tshuva and to let ourselves fly.
Oh, 9:55 is mine. All right, so Rabosai, I'm out of time. I just want to wish everybody a Gemar Chazim Atova and a good Gevinch. Hashem should bless you all. You, especially Hashem should bless this kolel, this wonderful kolel. It should fly. It should get greater and greater and greater. It's awesome. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should see mamish, a year of Gula Shleima b'Mehavim.
Amen.
Halika Chaver.